We good? Alright, folks, now I am outside the Intrepid CS Space Museum. I'm going to start doing some video capturing if I can. Now, I did say that I was going to... Damn it. I turned it off. There we go. Are we on video? Are we on record? Okay, let it run. Damn it. Is it running? Okay, it's moving now. Okay, so we're outside is the Intrepid Sea Air Space Museum. Just taking some shots here. Now, I did say that I wanted to interview a few people, basically military people. I gotta tell you though, folks, it is a madhouse out here. I mean, there are like tons of people out here, and I tried to walk along to where I thought I would see a couple of soldiers, and I've only seen a couple, and that was before I turned everything on. So it's I don't know what's going to happen here, if I'm going to have any interviews, or, you know, if this is just going to be one big waste of time. Now, I'm going to get a few shots, but, you know, I can't guarantee anything. I'm going to try. I'm going to try.
Yeah, we scrapped the idea. We scrapped the Fleet Week episode. It was just too much hassle. I was in the wrong place. CD99, live on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, on Podomatic.com. David Robinson at Blogspot.com. Well, no longer. Tawakwan at your-poetry.com. And don't forget the YouTube channel. And we're also on SoundCloud. Yeah, things didn't go as well as I wanted it. I should have been on 42nd Street, but I was over there at the Intrepid Sea Air and Space Museum, and it just did not work out. Most of the soldiers were in a huff. I had no time for interviews, and it was a mess. I didn't feel like talking to any regular people, so I just scrapped the whole idea. But we may have some interesting things to talk about today, so anyway, I'm sorry about that. But just the same, let's see if we can have a little fun today. Okay? So sit back, relax, and enjoy. And you know what pissed me off about the whole thing, folks? They said that Memorial Day was going to be a washout. So they didn't know if the parade was going to take place and yada, yada, yada. And then Monday came, and it was sunny. And I said to myself, well, ain't this a meh, meh, meh. Because had I'd have known that, I'd have just got my equipment ready, and I'd have went out on Monday, and I'd have tried again, and I'd have most likely had gotten a couple of interviews, because it would have been soldiers all over the place. But they said it was going to be a washout, so I didn't even think about it. And then, you know, Monday was a sunny day. Man, let me tell you, the weather, man, the meteorologist, what can I say? What can I say? You know? Two things. Blogspot, David Robinson at blogspot.com, is momentarily not functioning. There's a little problem there with Time Warner that I have to take care of. I don't know how long it'll be down, but it is down. The other thing is I'd like to give out my thoughts and prayers to the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali, who was in the hospital, and they said it's not looking good. They have called his whole family to his bedside, and you know what that usually means. He is a historic figure, someone that I have been in love with since I was knee-high to a fire hydrant. I watched all his fights. I cried when, you know, when he started to decline. And, you know, when he, you know, lost to Holmes. And, you know, and the whole Parkinson's thing. It's just, you know, I mean, with the loss of Prince and, you know, James Brown and David Bowie and Michael Jackson and, you know, it looks like, I mean, it just doesn't look good right now for Muhammad. And, you know, I've kind of been preparing myself for this day, but, you know, it's still sad, you know, when it happens. So, yeah, that's about all I have to say about that. It's just going to be a sad day when the greatest of all time finally leaves us. Okay, you're listening to CD99. I'll be back in a couple.
Well, today the family of that three-year-old boy who fell into a gorilla exhibit said they will not sue the Cincinnati Zoo. The boy is all right, but of course his mother didn't know that when she called 911 on Saturday. The audio tapes are out, and Jamie Yukas has them.
Cincinnati 911.
Hi, my son fell in the zoo exhibit of a gorilla. There's a male gorilla standing over him. I need someone to contact the zoo, please.
Okay.
Just moments after her three-year-old boy fell into the gorilla enclosure, the terrified mother called for help.
You do already have help started there, okay? How old
okay.
is the child?
Isaiah, be calm.
How old
be calm.
Is the girl?
He's dragging my son. I can't watch this.
I can't watch.
Others dialed 911 as they watched the 420-pound gorilla drag the boy throughout the exhibit.
But he's dragging him from one end to the other. Oh, my God.
Zookeepers killed the endangered Western Lowland Gorilla to save the boy's life.
Child is safe. All right, sir.
Yes.
CBS also learned police are still reviewing the parents' actions that led up to the incident. Ultimately, the decision to pursue possible charges is up to the local prosecutor.
Family has not been home since the incident, but because of the backlash, police have offered them extra patrols. And Scott, the family released a new statement today saying their son was seen by a second doctor and is doing okay.
Jamie Yukas in Cincinnati. Jamie, thank you.
We've been telling you how the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Gardens' decision to kill an endangered gorilla is sparking outrage. A four-year-old boy made it past a barrier and into an enclosure 15 feet below. He came face-to-face with a 450-pound male gorilla named Harambe. The zoo says the boy was dragged and thrown before the animal was shot and killed. The child was treated at a hospital.
His family says he is now, quote, home and doing just fine. You know Jack Hanna from his many national TV appearances over the years. He's the director emeritus of the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium, and he joins us now. Jack, good morning.
Morning.
Jack, you've been doing this for over 40 years, and we've all seen that video now several times. But what is it that you see in that video about the gorilla's behavior that perhaps we don't?
Well, real quickly, if I could say one thing, 10 seconds. the Hanna family, the Columbus Zoo, Cincinnati Zoo, the Zoo World, this is obviously a terrible tragedy. But however, we have given over tens of millions of dollars over the last years to the gorilla world, both lowland and mountain gorillas. I happen to have a home 3 miles from where the gorillas live in Rwanda. That's the mountain gorillas. However, what you see here, you hear the screaming going on. I hear it in my ear right now. You hear the screaming going on. Watch that gorilla's response, by the way. He doesn't know what's going on. This is a silverback, by the way, not a female. He hears the response. You can see from the face and the mouth, he's alarmed. Yes, he goes over and looks at the little child there. There's no doubt about that. What happens when you tranquilize the animal? Whether it's a gorilla, whatever animal it might be. As I do research in the wild with gorillas, I've seen what happens. So I know what happens. When that dart hits the animal, this animal, you can imagine, the animal's, it's like a shot. But he jumps like this. So what would happen if he had a hold of that little boy? I've seen a silverback gorilla take a green coconut, which you can't even bust up with a hatchet, and go like this. Beyond the strength of anything you would ever know. So what choice was made? You have human life and animal life. So what choice was made?
So, Jack, you believe the zoo made the right decision. Obviously, the Cincinnati Zoo has said a child's life was in danger and a quick decision had to be made. It sounds like you agree with them.
I agree 1,000%. Because why? I've worked with gorillas and seen them for over 35 years. I have a home next to them in Rwanda, the mountain gorilla. These are lowland gorillas in the Congo, which I just filmed in Gabon in Africa. So when I've seen all this on my entire life of 35 years, both the zoological situation and the ones in the wild, what's happening in the wild right now is sometimes tragic. I've seen gorillas with snares on them, their hands rotting off. We try and provide millions to protect the gorillas. The point is, this animal, they made the correct decision. As a matter of fact, it's a millisecond decision. They cannot tranquilize it. It takes 5 to 10 minutes. All of us are sorry. We're all in the zoo world heartfelt for this whole thing. But thank goodness a human being is alive today because of the decision the Cincinnati Zoo made. So you have human life and animal life. What happened, how the child got in there is not my business. But we just can't build 15-foot walls around everything we have in the zoological park. If you take our safety, by the way, and you measure it against other recreational things in this country, we'd be at the very top of safety. When you take the amount of either tragedy we've had or injuries, we're at the very top of that not happening, Jack, with the billions of visitors.
Jack, I mean, there are some people who are being very critical of the family at this point. There's even a petition online attacking the family. I mean, do you think there is more that needs to be done to essentially keep people out of these kind of enclosures?
Well, we can only do so much. I mean, what keeps somebody from going across the fence in the interstate? What keeps somebody from I've seen children do all kinds of things in shopping centers. I mean, what do we do? Where do we make this thing end? We do our safety of our visitor, of our animals, and our employees comes first. We do this practice hours and hours every week. Every zoo in this country, the American Zoo and Aquarium Association, we all work every week and practice hours on safety. And we try the best we can. I don't know the situation in Cincinnati. I'm not going to tell you right now that nothing will happen to any zoo in the world, in our country. We have a beautiful thing. We educate billions of people, and we do it in a safe way that we ever can. But we can't protect everything all the time. Nobody, if anybody in this country can tell you in any recreational thing they can, whether it's about amusement parks, water parks, zoos, then somebody's telling you a fib, because we try our best with safety first.
Jack, what's the lesson then to be learned here for other parents?
Well, for me it is with children. You always have to watch children in a shopping center. You watch them at a water park. We have, you know, we do the best we can again. But advice to parents, the zoo is one of the safest places, folks, you can go in the entire world to visit a zoological park. And I'll put that up against anything. It's one of the safest places in the entire world to go. Just watch your kids. We have children in most zoos, 3 years up to 12 years old, that come to our summer camps. We have several hundred of them that come to our summer camps and see the zoo. But we're monitoring the kids all the time. Every second we monitor children. And I'm sure that the mother here did the best she could, I guess. Maybe she was doing something else. I don't know. I wasn't there.
All right, Jack, Hanna. A tragic situation on all around. Thank you.
Yep. Right. Thank you.
And folks, let me just elaborate, if not repeat what Jack Hanna just said. It's a millisecond. It's a millisecond. I mean, when I heard the news and I heard that they had shot Harambee, and you know me, I'm a big animal advocate, I did not have a second thought. As soon as I saw the video, I knew there was no other choice but to shoot the silverback. Because just as Jack Hanna said, if they'd have shot the gorilla with a dart, he would have, you know, he would have most likely flinched, and you know, he probably would have squeezed his hand, and in doing that, he would have snapped that kid into two, ripped the leg off or something. And then what? Then you end up killing the gorilla anyway. So for the animal welfare, or for the animal rights people out there like PETA that are saying that it's such a shame and they shouldn't have done it, and they, you know, they could have used tranquilizer darts. That gorilla was so hyped that tranquilizer darts would not have worked. And you can't shock him. Somebody was saying something about tasing him. That would have been the worst thing, because he would have ripped that kid just from his, just from the reaction of the shock. He would have ripped that kid in two. So you couldn't, you had no other choice but to shoot the gorilla. It's unfortunate, but there was no other choice. There was absolutely no other choice, because just like Jack Hanna said, it's a millisecond. You know, it's a millisecond. And they were lucky. They were lucky because the whole thing took 10 minutes. So they were lucky that that kid in that 10 minutes time was still alive. Now, if I had anything to say about this whole thing, excuse me, I would say that there should have been zoo attendants on hand to get the people away. Because that's what shocked the gorilla. That's what upset the gorilla. All of a sudden, all these people are looking down. They're yelling. They're ooh and aahing. And this is what's freaking the gorilla out. And that's why he all of a sudden just grabbed the kid by the leg and went running off. Because he didn't know what was going on. He was freaking out. So if I had to say anything, I would say there should have been some people on hand just to move the people out of the way, just to get them out of the way. Even the mom, move her out, move out, because she's yelling down at him. You know, you can't do that with the gorilla, because the gorilla doesn't know. You know, the gorilla's looking at you like, okay, you're going to do me some harm. You know, you're going to probably do this kid some harm, because the gorilla's probably the gorilla's first thought was probably just to take care of the kid, you know, like a gorilla child. But then all the people just hyping him up just made it all worse. And then, you know, there was no other choice. Now, there are people saying that the parents should be responsible. From what I understand, the mother was walking with the child, and the child said, I'm going to go down with the gorillas. And she said, no, you're not. And he said, yes, I am. And she said, no, you're not. And he said, yes, I am. And the next thing you know, there he was. But when you hear your child do something like that or say something like that, you're not thinking this. He's actually going to do it. It's a kid. They always say stupid things. You're not thinking that's actually going to happen. And you're not thinking that there's a hole somewhere where the kid can get through. Mind you, Cincinnati has had a couple of other instances. They had a couple of polar bears get the roaming around. I think there was a cheetah that somehow got out and was roaming around. So they've had a couple of instances, and they've got to really check their safety. They've got to check. I mean, you know, believe me, after this, they're going to revamp. But I don't see you giving the parents the blame here. I just don't see that happening. You know how kids are. Oh, mommy, I'm going to go jump off the roof. Oh, sure you are. Yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? You don't pay any attention. All of a sudden, your kid's up on the roof, and you're like, how the hell did that happen? I mean, you take your eye off the kid for a second. That's all it takes is a second. And that's all it took in this instance was a second. And you had a millisecond, anything could have happened to that kid. And like I said, they were very lucky. The whole thing took 10 minutes. They were very lucky that that kid was still alive at the end. Very lucky. Because that gorilla would have snapped that kid in two like nothing. And then you would have really had outrage. You would have had to kill a gorilla, and now you got a dead child. So, I mean, listen, it's easy to play backseat quarterback and say, well, you should have done this and you should have done that. And you know, and the parents are to blame. Come on. You know, things happen. Accidents happen. You know, like Hannah was saying, you're in a mall, you know, and kids are running around and you know, it's sometimes the parents just, you can't always have them by the hand. You know, you can't always have them by the hand. You know, you might let go and reach into your pocketbook or whatever, or turn around, and then when you turn back, your kid's gone. It happens that quickly, and you know it happens that quickly. So to give the parents the fault here, no. That was it was an accident. Thank God it turned out tragic for Harambe, but the kid's still alive. That's the important thing here. It's sad that Harambe had to be shot. But there was no other choice in this matter. Absolutely no other choice. What were you going to do? There's just nothing. There was just nothing else you could do. So, hey, you know, it's a sad state of affairs on one end, but it's a happy end on the other end, you know? Anyway, you're listening to CD99 on your iTunes, your Android, and your iOS, and also on SoundCloud. And I'll return in a few.
Been in this business 50 years, 47 of them here, and I've worked with this gorilla family. I didn't think it was going to be this rough so early. Okay, I worked with this gorilla family since they came into the United States. The grandparents were 5 and a half years old. I unpacked them when they came from Africa. They were just little guys. I've been with them their entire life, and I've seen all the babies be born. I raised Harambe from the day he was born. He lived with his mama for the first roughly 20, 21 days. That mother and father had to be petrified. They had to be scared to death. The public around them had to be mortified. Everybody was total loss because, my God, they didn't know who he was. this beast had this baby. He was in a situation where there's this strange thing here that I don't know what do I do? And do I fight it? Do I love it? Do I run from it? What do I do?
I don't know how to go. Hey. Come here, come here.
Okay. He's good. He's
Mommy's good. Right here.
He's done.
Oh
my God. Oh my God.
Okay, everybody back up. I think he's
trying to switch. Okay. It's in a minute. Mommy loves you. I'm right here.
Thank you.
No, he's playing with it. He's playing. No, no, he's playing too.
Please protect him.
Isaiah, be calm.
Good, good.
Be calm. Oh, my God. Oh my God, are you coming?
There's a zoo worker.
Oh my God, he is drowning. He's drowning. I cannot get drowned.
Oh my God.
Just a mom to go. He's just sitting there.
I think she's right there.
Hey, can you find my baby?
Oh my God, he's falling.
Get the kids out of here.
Move out of here. We'll be right back.
$9.99. Live on your iTunes, your Android, and your iOS. My name is JDR. We're also on Podomatic.com and on SoundCloud. As I said earlier, Blogspot right now, David Robinson at Blogspot, is not functioning. I have to get together with Time Warner and figure out what's going on there. And, yeah, you still have Tawakwan at your-poetry.com. We scrapped the Fleet Week episode because it just didn't work out the way we wanted it to, so. And you know what? Next week is supposed to be the 100th episode. I don't know what I'm going to do there. But I figured, you know, if I did the Fleet Week episode, which would have, it would have been good. But, you know, if I keep this show going, I will definitely do it next year. But, because I know what went wrong this year. So I know how to, you know, to rectify that. Yeah, other than that, I have no idea what I'm going to do next week. I don't know if I'll be out or, I don't know. I don't even know if I'll have a show. I don't know. We might scrap the whole CD idea, you know. I have no idea. I'll see, you know, what things look like. Right now everybody's freaking out with this Zika virus thing because, you know, it rained here. It rained this morning. It's supposed to rain really hard on Sunday here in Queens, New York. And, you know, you get a lot of standing water and everybody's worried about the Zika virus. And I don't blame them because I saw a mosquito today flying around in my kitchen and I got that sucker really quick. I said, oh, buddy, you are not stinging me. I don't feel like having it, you know. Yeah, let me tell you. And, you know, there's a whole lot of freaky stuff going on. It was just a gentleman who was protecting his wife from an assailant that ripped her clothes off and tried to rape her. And when the husband got home, the assailant was still there, and he beat the assailant with a tire iron, killed him. And they wanted to charge him with manslaughter, but they let him go, you know, because that's definitely self-defense. But, you know, there's freaky things going on and all the time, and, you know, you try to protect yourself the best you can. I mean, it's enough with the Zika virus, you know, you got to have a bunch of idiots going on, or, you know, running around doing things. And you know, the weather's going to get hot, so it's going to get even worse, and, you know, Donald Trump and... Yeah, Jesus, this is just, it's madness. Sometimes I just sit back and I look at it and I go, oh man, I can't believe this is all going on. It's just crazy. Anyway, I'm going to give my shout outs to the FDNY and the NYPD and to the North Shore Animal League and the ASPCA, my girl Judge Judy, all men and women in the military that I didn't get to interview, EMS workers, and pet caretakers, you know, people that work for the ASPCA and for shelters and North Shore Animal League and stuff like that, because they have a really hard job. And, you know, it could be rewarding, but it can also be very sad. So, you know, I'd just like to give a shout out to those people. And like I said, I don't know what's going on next week. Another thing is, you know, once again, my thoughts and prayers to Muhammad Ali and his family. They have called the family to the hospital, to his bedside, because they said it's pretty bad. So, you know, that's my childhood hero, you know. So it's a sad thing. I thank you for listening. If you don't want to listen anymore because I didn't do the Fleet Week episode, I don't blame you. What am I going to do next week? I don't know. I'm going to let things run through my head, but I have no idea. I did take some film while I was out during Fleet Week, but it's really nothing. It's nothing to even show. I'm not even going to put it on the YouTube channel. So anyway, I'm going to say goodbye to you folks, and we'll see if I'm here next week, and if I'm here next week, I hope you are too. Okay, thank you very much for listening. There's a little bit of the show left, so hang on, maybe a little comedy or something. Okay, other than that, I shall see you next week, hopefully. Bye-bye.
Too much pressure. That's my problem. I can't handle pressure. Sometimes pressure makes me talk different. I'm serious. You ever have like that social pressure? You ever talk to somebody who's fake and they make you fake? Like, they come to you like, hey, how you doing? You're like, fine, how are you? And you're like, I don't even talk like that. I get sick of that shit. I do, it just makes me sick. Sometimes I'll talk crazy just to make myself feel better. You ever do that? Just start talking like crazy. Like, you ever hear this voice? Man. That's how bad guys used to talk in the 40s. In the old days. See, I talk like that. Not all the time, but if somebody put the pressure on me, fuck it, I gotta cut loose. If the police pull me over, I'll talk crazy. Son, do you know why we pulled you over? Nah, because I'm black, see? That's right. Nah. I do it. It's not illegal to talk like that. How do they know I don't talk like that every day?
Stop talking like that.
Stop talking like white copper. Nah. That's how I talk, see? You got to make life interesting like that because the shit is flimsy. Life is flimsy. You think you're going to live forever. You ain't not going to live forever. It's dangerous out here. We know what's going on. I travel now. You know, I used to think D.C. had the roughest ghettos in the country. Nah, nigga. Uh-uh. I have seen some shit now. Oh, there's some rough areas outside of D.C. Yeah, everybody should go to the ghetto. I was taken to the ghetto one time. That's the worst. When you get taken and you're not expecting to go. You know, usually you want to know when you're going to the ghetto, like, I'm going to see some wild shit. I got to prepare myself. I'm going to see something crazy. When you're taken, it's different. I had a limousine driver. It was after a show. It was late at night. It was like 3 in the morning. I had a limousine driver. He was a nice guy talking to me and shit. Oh, hey, where you from, dog? D.C.? Word? That's a rough city, man. And his cell phone started ringing. Hold on one second. Hello? Oh, what's up, nigga? What? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No! 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 Fuck that, nigga. Fuck it. I'm on my way. Hey. I gotta make a stop real quick. At 3 o'clock in the morning. I didn't know he was taking me to the ghetto at first. I started looking out the window. I was like, what the fuck? Is gun store, liquor store, gun store. Where the fuck are you taking me? This don't look good. He didn't say shit. He just pulled up in front of an old rickety building that looked like a project. Now, I'd never been there before. I'm not sure if it was a project, but it certainly had all the familiar symptoms of a project. a fucking crackhead ran this way. And then another one jumped out a tree and shit. And I said, I'll be right back. And left me. Took the keys with him and just left me. At 3 o'clock in the morning, in front of a project, in a fucking limousine. This was not good. I was like, man, I got to look around and see if I can see some landmarks and figure out where I'm at. Might have to escape on foot. Now, this is when I knew I was in a bad neighborhood. You only see this in the worst neighborhoods. Remember, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I look out the window. It was a fucking baby standing on a corner. Look at this. And the baby didn't even look scared. He was just standing there. I mean, it made me sad, really. You know what I mean? Because I wanted to help the baby. I was like, I don't trust you either. I'm sorry. Click. Click. The old baby on the corner trick, eh? I'm not going to fall for that shit. Where's this limousine driver? You know, I start feeling bad. As time goes by, I start feeling worse. Like, man, what is wrong with me? What the hell is wrong? I'm scared of a baby. And this baby could be in trouble. He might need my help. I got to do something. But I wasn't going to get out the car. I'm serious, man. I just cracked the window a little bit. There's an old limousine. I can roll it down. Hey, baby. Baby, go home, man. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. What the fuck are you doing up? The baby said, I'm selling weed, nigga. I said, oh, shit. I wasn't expecting that. I'm sorry, I had to buy 2 bags from the coma. Let me get two coins. Yeah. Got back in the car and rolled me a joint, man. So, that shit was scary, man. Every once in a while, like, a crackhead would come up to the car and look in the window. It was like Jurassic Park, and should he be looking on the car? Hey, get out of here, cracky. That baby was still standing there, man. Then I started feeling bad again. Yeah, weed make you feel guilty sometimes. You know? Man, what is wrong with me, man? I have just bought weed from an infant. I can't condone this kind of behavior. What am I thinking? I can't let the fear ruin my morals. Gotta do something. Hey, baby. Stop selling weed, all right? You got your whole life ahead of you. He said, fuck you, nigga. I got kids to feed. I said, God damn. Sam. And just at that very moment, one of the crackheads was running across the street and got hit by a car. I know it was a hit and run. The police did it. That's all right. They sprinkled some crack on him and got back up.
For all of us at the ASPCA, working to save the lives of animals is on our minds every day. And in the past year, I've been inspired by the outpouring of support we've received from members like you. Thousands of animals have been saved from deplorable conditions by our emergency responders, and thousands more were given life-saving medical treatment, and still even more were impacted by the passage of humane animal welfare laws in states across the country, laws that you helped us fight for. Whether rescuing innocent dogs from the horrors of dogfighting, responding to natural disasters, or putting an end to the cruel and inhumane practices on factory farms, our commitment to giving a voice to the voiceless is renewed every day. But our work depends on the dedicated support of people like you. Every day, I am thankful for those who take time out to volunteer, to share our stories, and to donate. Thank you for making this another year of progress for animals and for saving lives with us every day.